What's our goal? And our primary goal is to go there and serve the church, to come alongside the nationals, to equip the nationals, and to hand off ministry to the nationals. A pastor here, like Pastor Ty, is certainly interested in equipping other people for the ministry. He's interested in sharing, delegating, expanding ministries through equipping other people and preparing them for those ministries. But as far as I know, the heart of Pastor Ty, he loves this church and doesn't want to leave this church. But a missionary is kind of doing that same thing, except the missionary's goal is to replace themselves, to ultimately hand off all their responsibilities to the nationals. Our problem is we don't want to leave. We love being in Croatia. Our girls love to be in Croatia. They can't wait to get back, and that's something I'm very, very thankful for. And so I think in God's providence, one of the things that he's accomplishing right now is moving me out of the way for a period of time, not because I did not want to give up responsibilities, but because I was just naturally carrying out ministry opportunities and responsibilities that I had. And being there then keeps maybe guys from rising up that would could take on responsibilities in my place. And so I think that's developing. We had our first one-year program where we have kind of an introductory year to our 3 to 4 year program. And there's one of the guys that took that program that's from our local church. We were very thankful that he finally did that. He had come to Krapina, married one of the gals in our church, and came with the intention to get involved in theological training and attend our school. But family started and life caught up on him, and he was never able to do that. But this past year, he was able to start that one-year program, and hopefully he will continue at least maybe the second year and third year as well. So we hope that we'll see him continue to grow. But one of the couples that you saw there, the one without the children, is a very dear couple, and we believe that God is quite possibly raising him up to be the next pastor in our church, possibly. And our pastor is 72. That's one great concern I have being here for so long, because it does create more responsibilities and work for him. But Ivan and Arena are a wonderful young couple, and we hope that is the direction that God is leading. And it would be a privilege for me to be in Croatia, certainly long enough, as long as God would have me. We don't have any other plans, but at least to see Ivan make that transition fully and be alongside him as a co-elder and an encouragement in ministry as he grows into that position. Ivan came to our church as well to marry one of our gals. That's one thing we are very rich in Krapina, is godly young women who love the Lord and have really grown up in one of the few churches in Croatia where they can hear sound teaching and benefit from biblical ministry. And he started training with us, and he's in about his somewhere. He started in the middle of the year, which is a unique thing, and he's about 2.5 years through it, but because of the schedule, he's got 2 more years. But by God's grace, is something we're very thankful for. They were able to start this year, much quicker than I expected, the Masters of Biblical Counseling program during the summer at Masters College. And so they just finished those 2 weeks there, and then they visited a church in Las Vegas. And they're actually, they were sleeping at the house when we left. They're visiting another church, the church in Woodstock, when we set out early this morning. But they're here in Georgia, and just such a wonderful thing to see them growing, them kind of overwhelmed with all the wonderful things they're learning. And I got to talk to Ivan yesterday as we drove around. What are some of the things you would like to see implemented in the church in Krapina? And just really wonderful to see them growing and developing. And so please continue to pray for them. We would love to see them raise a little bit of support just so that they can have the freedom to minister without having to be concerned about working. Although he's one of the few students that came to us, already had worked as a carpenter for several years, had a very strong work ethic, very mature, and just very thankful for them, and hope that God will just continue to use them in our area. So another update, the baptismal that you saw that was kind of framed and in concrete, we've been able to use twice. That two summers ago. We went back in the summer and had a baptismal service our first Sunday back, and then we had another one last summer. And so we're very thankful that God continues to add to our church. We had two new believers that started coming to our church recently from within our county. We didn't know that they were there, but they had been going to very Pentecostal churches in Zagreb and had not been growing in those churches, and were becoming very, very stunted in their spiritual growth, frankly, and came through contact through some of our members to our church much closer, even though they're kind of isolated in a village, and just real blessings to see how much they have grown in a short amount of time and my limited contact with them since they started coming in the spring. But just godly ladies who love the Lord and are walking faithfully with Him and growing. Just as you probably are familiar, someone who's a believer that has not been in a under sound preaching, teaching much of their lives, they find that and they begin to grow and just begin to put things together and understand things. It's a wonderful thing to observe, and not something we get to observe very often in Croatia. So very thankful for them. And again, like I say, Pastor Mishko leading and continuing to develop the ministries there. Colleagues, as some of you know, Stephen Coney, and we have other wonderful colleagues in the school that are jumped in and helped, you know, just even though they're not there in the town where the school is, making the trip in to visit the students, encourage them, and disciple them. So very grateful for them. Also very grateful for my family. The girls, as you can imagine, have gone through some traumatic transitions, seemingly one after another, and ups and downs over the past few months, but God has been faithful, and we're very thankful that when we do get to visit churches here, that that we're going into churches that feel like home, and it softens the loss of our own church home in Krapina. And also, the closest supporting church we have to Adairsville, is where we're staying with my dad, is Faith Community Church. And it's just been a blessing to have a church that has visited our Croatia so many times, and girls already had relationships there. And even though it's still an hour away, at least to have like a church that we can are like-minded with and can minister with. We just wish we were closer to all of our churches. To visit more regularly, but do thank you for your faithfulness to support us, and we try to communicate to our church, to our students, look, there are many, and even to my dad right now, there are many people praying for you throughout the whole world. I remember when my mom found out that she had cancer, they go to a Southern Baptist church in Rome, and their pastor was a missionary for 8 years in Brazil. And she asked her pastor, how am I going to communicate this to Chris and to Nina? And he said, you know what? That only means that believers all over the world are going to be praying for you. And that's been true. And it's been a huge blessing to us and a ministry to us to see how people have followed that whole her whole situation and our situation and continue to pray and encourage us. And it's a huge encouragement to our parents, my parents, that we have churches that love us and care for us and minister to us. And so thank you for that ministry. I just wanted to give you some time, maybe to ask some questions. Like I said, I just want to open up my heart. This is a new experience for us. And it's not something that just missionaries go through. I know that many of you have probably had to face issues. How do you take care of parents and minister to parents? And I'd love to learn from you some of those things. One more thing we're very thankful for is the encouragement that we've received. There's been no kind of pushback or like, what are you doing? Obviously, as soon as we decided to extend our stay here in the States, there was a little bit of a ripple or wave through the ministries in Croatia saying they're never going to come back, partly because that's what happens. Missionaries typically return for their first furlough after their first term, and often do not return to the field for different reasons. But again, Croatia is very blessed that we have a lot of very godly, faithful missionaries who love the Word of God and minister biblically, who have been in Croatia for over 15 years. And so another thing we're very thankful for. Even though the ministry is very small, not hugely encouraging, God has provided many faithful families to be there and serve. So, any questions you might have? Comments? Yes, sir.
I'm just curious, maybe you can kind of get me up to speed a little bit on the challenges in your area, maybe both the local and more broader area.
Right.
As far as what the community is like in terms of their
beliefs. Sure. Sure. Okay, thank you for that question. Keep in mind that Yugoslavia is a collision of three spiritual kingdoms, religious kingdoms. The Roman Catholic all the way through Slovenia and Croatia. Bosnia is Muslim. And then the Eastern Orthodox border right there in Serbia. So that was made into one country by politicians and world leaders. And Tito held it together for 40 years, the first dictator, kind of balancing between a milder form of communism and trying to keep business opportunities open for the West, and held it together while other countries around him were just kind of going through turbulence and things. As soon as he died is when the war broke out. And so Croatia is very Catholic. To be Croatian is to be Catholic. Not because they have read the Catholic Catechism and reasoned their way to that or thought about that or anything, not because they even agree with the Pope or what the Catholic Church teach. You'll often point out to them, well, the Catholic Church teaches this. Well, I don't care that, but I'm Catholic, you know. Sometimes you'll even talk to someone who will say they're atheist, and then later in the conversation they'll say, but I'm Christian, so I'm a Catholic. So they're not necessarily even connecting the dots logically, but it's a very cultural dominant mentality. And so to ask someone to leave that, to step away from that, is essentially ask them to turn their back on their family, on their country, on their culture, and admit that everyone's wrong. Everyone who they've ever known, who has ever passed away, is dying in hell. And so it's a challenge. It goes very slow. Believers are often very quickly isolated from their family, alienated from their family. Although God has begun to work individual by individual, the first wave of church planting after World War II, there were some Croatians that got saved here in the States and returned to Croatia. And there were quite a few families that got saved through that, which was wonderful to see. And you find these connections through churches, different places. But then that kind of died down. During the war, there's a lot of humanitarian aid, and so the churches all grew, and there's packed houses, and then as soon as that financial or that humanitarian aid began to die away, the false Christians kind of died away with them. And so that's what we face in the church and as far as evangelism. In training, big challenges, you kind of have that European mindset, a little bit of look down on your nose on America and things that come from America. So the older pastors aren't looking to us for training. But most of that generation as well is not trained. You become the leader of a church typically by being the first person to move to that town or that village as a Christian, not have a church. So you invite some people, you start having services with your own family, Bible study. And then maybe a few people get saved and it becomes a small village church that starts stagnant and never gets beyond that. And the leader is leader by default. He's not leader because of qualifications or training. And so you have that. And then, believe it or not, the Croatian Baptist Union is more oriented toward liberal, ecumenical orientation, just because I think part of that's a political thing. They want a seat at the table. They don't want to feel small, and so they'll make compromises, and even many Baptist pastors and leaders in the union get together for prayer meetings with priests and even Muslims, so receive the Pope when he comes. So it just blurs the line. I think a lot of the smaller churches have faithful men who see the problem with that and have to deal with the problem in their own churches when they're members of the people that are trying to evangelize see leaders of the Baptist Union on the stage with the Pope. Oh, there's no difference, you know. Why is this crazy guy trying to get me to change? So you'll see some men try to take that stand, but because they lack training, they lack deep convictions, and they're kind of tossed back, or they withdraw. You know, I'm not going to fight that fight. So we actually have probably strength in numbers, but not strength in conviction. So we're trying to help those men serve the younger generation that is more open to training. We have seen some indications that there is a greater and greater hunger for God's word in the church. One of the things that we're trying to do now in the training, with the training center and the resources we have in the faculty, is to get more into the churches to do more equipping kind of training. We've had very intense 10 hours and 2 days kind of training programs, and we've kind of used up all the guys who are interested in that. There's still a few that will come to anything we offer like that, but the typical believer is not ready to sit through 10 hours of training in 2 days, and so we're trying to come up with 4 hours or 3 hours, 2 hours, different subjects. And so that's been encouraging to see, again, that our guys are getting into the churches, their ministries are having an impact, people are seeing the benefit of the systematic theological training, study of the scriptures, and then beginning to say, hey, you know, maybe the Bible has an answer for this problem that I have, and so they're seeking that. So we're shooting at every level and trying to see where God would give us an opportunity to minister. So, but thank you for the question. Did that answer some of the challenges? Thank you. Other questions, comments? I've said this last couple of churches we visited. If you have any encouraging stories about back surgery and recovery, that's always welcome. Yes, ma'am. I have a couple of brothers, so I do have siblings. They are as helpful as they can be, but it's pretty much fallen to us. So we're looking, my dad has a farm, 65 acres, breeder stock. He's ready to walk away from that. It's just the question is, where does he go? He was not interested until he started having the back problems. In assisted living right now, but that is an option. I got to say, one blessing for us, and we found out that this is pretty rare, neither Nina's parents nor my parents have ever held it against us or used it against us that we follow God's call to the mission field. And that is very rare, especially not only for unbelieving parents, but even for believing parents. You know, why are you serving over there when there's so much that can be done here? Why are you taking my grandkids over there? And so my dad would never ask us to do what we're doing. And that's one of the reasons it's such a joy to be able to do it. And it's killing him that we're here. And so he's in a good position. He's worked hard his whole life. So he has the freedom to decide what he wants to do. It's a tough decision because we're hopeful that the back surgery will be successful and he can live on his own near his church and his doctors in Rome. But he doesn't want to move twice. I mean, we can understand that, right? I don't want to move now and then move to assisted living in 6 months or a year. So just praying for wisdom and would covet your prayers for how to help him make that decision. So. But yes. Yes, ma'am.
Because you know the Croatian language, would you consider starting a church someplace else?
Well, we've been praying that the church won't come to that conclusion. because of the training center is housed in our church, I think our role, because we started out, three missionary families plus Mishko, Pastor Mishko and his wife, in Krapina. So two guys have already gone out to serve in other churches. And then all of our other faculty are serving in other churches. And so we feel like we want to stay in Krapina to always have that constant contact with the students as long as the training center is there and functioning as it is. And then to serve alongside. As much as I would love to be a pastor of a church, it's not my role in Croatia. I want to be a co-elder, serve alongside the pastor, and help him, enable him encourage him in what will be a difficult, slow ministry for him. So I've tried to do that with Pastor Mishko, and I hope that God would keep me long enough to do that with Pastor Mishko and Ivan, and then maybe eventually Ivan. So we'll see. Although Pastor Mishko is strong, he's been through some prostate cancer issues, and he may outlast me. We'll see. He's a strong man. So, yes, sir.
You mentioned the summer camp and mm-hmm. other churches. I think it said four churches that are there.
Right. Through our training, we're creating quite a network, and there's even some tension. Sometimes someone will say, we need to start a new union, which, again, I'm not, as an American guest in Croatia, I'm not going to start a new Baptist union, but I will support men who feel like that's what they need to do. And so trying to communicate that to our students and helping them think through those issues, when do I fight this battle, when do I die on this hill and not, is one of the things we're constantly doing, constantly discussing, can this thing be saved? So we do have fellowship, and the camp at the sea is totally out of our hands now, partly because us and my colleague who were most involved in that ministry kept our kids up through elementary school and public school, and so the only time we could travel to the States was during the summer. And so we were gone for those camps, and they had to decide, is this a valid ministry? Is this a worthwhile ministry? Do we want to continue it? And they chose to continue it, and they expanded it. So it went from being two or three churches to 10 churches. Now there's no room for us to preach. So they're totally taking it on and leading it. And so I was there last summer, but the girls were already back in California visiting their grandparents. So we haven't been to that camp in a couple of years, but it continues to go strong and grow. So there is fellowship, but just like here, you get busy with your ministry. What's only an hour's drive turns out to be almost impossible to pull off, and plan and schedule, and you never get around to it. That's a challenge for us. I'd love to see us spend more time just working on personal relationships and encouraging one another. But we have mature men that handle the ministry as well. Yes? Yeah, the English camp in Krapina is just our church leading that, along with the help from comes here from the States. So, yeah. Other comments, questions, suggestions? We're here at your disposal to answer any questions you might have, and just again, very, very thankful for the privilege of ministering in Croatia, and very much aware that we wouldn't have that privilege without faithful, sacrificial saints and churches standing behind us. And so we thank you just pray that we would continue to be wise and good stewards of that that you've entrusted to us. So thank you. Can we pray and then prepare our hearts for worship a little bit later? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this morning and grateful for your kindness and goodness to us to give us new life, to give us new mercies with each day. We are thankful that you're a good God, full of grace and mercy, and open to have us approach you through Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would help us even this day to refocus our thoughts, our minds upon you. And we pray that you would lead us in wisdom. We pray that you bless the ministry in Croatia, the service, the saints that had gathered there just a few hours ago, as they carry on through the Lord's day, that they would think and prepare for the week that is ahead of them, and that they would be strategic and intentional in their lives as they honor you and walk with Christ. And Lord, we pray that we too would be prepared for the challenges that we faced in the week ahead. We do pray for the leaders of the church there. We pray for the leaders of the institution, and also for the pastors here that are so faithful, preaching your word, and churches throughout this country gathered around your word this morning. May your word go forth from strong pulpits, and may your people be renewed, changed, and may sinners be brought to Christ through the understanding of his grace and love. We pray in Jesus' name.